Well, welcome back, New Life. We're excited that you are here with us this morning, that we're here together live here on Facebook. And just a segue for us to think about that there's no other king than King Jesus in all the land. He is the King of Kings, and we're so grateful today to be starting this, the beginning of Holy Week, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and looking forward to talking about the triumphal entry here today, and of course, finishing next week with Jesus and coming back from the dead. Got chills. Actually, I actually have goosebumps just saying those words. So that's weird, I know, but super excited about everything that's going to be happening here this week. We want you to know that this week we're going to have some devotionals on our Facebook group page. We've also sent those out via email. So each day those are going to be coming out. And if you've gotten the email, you've got those there as well. And if you're somehow not in our private group, just let us know. We'll be happy to email those to you so that you can also be getting those. And this Thursday, we're actually going to be doing kind of a Holy Thursday service.
Yep.
It'll be a different and unique. We'll be live together and trying some things. We can all be together, see each other's faces, and just worship together, celebrate communion together. And we'll talk more about how that's going to happen here virtually as the week goes on. But and just to celebrate as part of Holy Week.
Yeah, those of you who have participated in the Holy Thursday service in the past, you know it's a tremendous time to gather, to reflect upon the events that led up to and including the crucifixion of our Lord in preparation for the great celebration next Sunday.
Yeah, totally looking forward to it. And I know for us, I'm just in our life group, being able to see people's faces virtually anyway, hear the voices has been awesome. We're hoping to be able to do that with a lot more people here this Thursday. So be looking for information on that. It'll come via email. So if you're not on our email list, just let us know there in the comments, and we'll make sure that we can try to hook you up. Also, today, as we celebrate the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, it's interesting that this story is one of the ones that is in all four Gospels. And just to think about what all that might mean, we know fully, but certainly it marks that it is an incredibly important moment in all of history. And all of the authors of the four Gospels wanted us to hear about it. So this morning, we're going to be declaring that Jesus is King. He's the long-awaited Messiah. And for us, as we want to just talk about things this morning, that the idea that we want to get at is that there's no other king worthy of our allegiance and our affections.
Amen.
So let's pray this morning as we open up God's Word. So God, we're grateful today that you love and care about us, God, that you are excited for us to talk about this week is not just a fictional story, but God, this is true history. It's your story of how Jesus entered into his creation, took on a flesh, and God willingly walked into this moment where eventually his life would be taken from him, be crucified on a cross, and he would be risen from the dead. So God, today, as we enter into this Easter week and this story, God, may we see Jesus as King. May we think about our expectations of what that means here now, and especially what that meant then and there. And God, may you be King, whatever we talk about, whatever is going on in our life, in our world. God, may you be King. May we acknowledge that today. And God, may we be changed. So God, we love you, and it is in the name of King Jesus that we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew's gospel looking at the triumphal entry, but I wanted to kind of set the context for the story out of the book of John. And in the book of John, chapter 12, there's a few verses that I'm going to read and then kind of comment on some of it. But starting in verse 1, we read that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. When the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. You can't help but read that and almost chuckle. Because, I mean, what? Put yourself in Lazarus's shoes. You know, all right, so people are now seeking to put me to death. Been there, done that. Have no worries, you know? Yeah. And what an amazing thought that would have been to be Lazarus, having experienced death, having been raised back to life. Yeah. And then to hear that, somebody's seeking to kill me.
Yeah.
So what?
What confidence he must have had.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, Jesus's miracle there in Bethany, the news of that traveled far, and people were coming from all over to see Jesus, to see Lazarus. Many people were coming from the city of Jerusalem itself, and they wanted to see this firsthand. They had heard about it. Now they want to see it. So great crowds were gathering, and Jesus then decides to go to Jerusalem. And the crowds that had gathered there in Bethany also went with Jesus as he traveled to Jerusalem. Many went before him. Many followed him. And you have to understand that the road to Jerusalem was most likely very steep and dusty this time of year. It was spring. It was most likely warm. And Bethany was about 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. And so you can see Jesus's route to Jerusalem, and the crowds would have already have made the road very crowded, because this was coming up on Passover. So people were traveling from all over into the city of Jerusalem. And I think we mentioned last week, the city was normally around 25,000 people, but it would have swelled to well over 100,000 people for the Passover. And so Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. And you just have to stop and wonder what it must have been like to be in that crowd.
Yeah, I mean, lots of different perspectives you can think about it. What was it like to be in the crowd? What was it like to be, you know, one of the disciples who fully were at least engaged? What must it have been like to be Jesus and knowing what was to come? Just so many different angles to think about that moment.
And, you know, and when you think about it, too, you know, I've been in parades. I've watched parades, and it's great. But this was different. Jesus, I mean, there were no bands, there were no floats. Jesus was the main attraction. And these people weren't sitting on the sidelines in bleachers. They were crowded in and pressing in on him all the way, all the 2 miles into Jerusalem. And I just think that there must have been some that were there that just were desperate to get a peek at Jesus. Maybe they could touch him. Maybe they might be healed. So this was a tremendous event. And so if you have your Bibles, though, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to start reading there. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. We'll read the first three verses. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once.'" Now, I don't know about you, but that seems a little odd to me. I mean, Jesus sending 2 of his cronies, 2 of his disciples. Hey, I want you to...
Did you just call the disciples cronies?
Cronies, yeah. But, you know, he sends 2 of his disciples into town. He says, "Hey, you're going to see a donkey and a colt tied. Take it, bring it back to me." Didn't ask for permission.
Yeah.
You know, it's just odd. But obviously Jesus knew this man, whoever it was that owned them, because he said that if anybody says anything to you, he's going to let you have them. And of course, you know, this is not just because Jesus needed a ride. You know, Jesus has done a lot of walking in his life. 2 miles is no big deal. But as odd as this thing seems, really the reason why it's recorded here in Scripture is because this is a fulfillment of prophecy. And we see that in verses 4 and 5 in Matthew. It says, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" This is incredible. And of course, you know, when we think about, you know, how to make a grand entrance, we probably would have chosen another vehicle, but the people understood the Old Testament. They understood the prophet Zechariah, who wrote in chapter 9, verse 9, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And what we really are seeing here is that Jesus is entering into Jerusalem as a conquering king. And this wasn't the first time that a king of Israel would ride a donkey. Even Solomon, King Solomon, when he became king, he rode on his father King David's donkey in the procession. And so, when you see this, you realize that the people understood the statement that Jesus was making as he was riding in. And if that isn't enough, if you look at verses 6 through 9 in chapter 21 there in Matthew, it says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought," page turn, "the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Again, I think that it must have been a tremendous sight. But when you understand what the people were saying, they were saying, "Hosanna to the," what? "Son of David."
Yeah.
The Son of David. That was a title. What they were really saying was that they're recognizing that Jesus is their rightful king. And the word Hosanna there is, it literally means "save us" or "save now." So they are shouting out to their rightful king to save them. This is really incredible. The spreading of their cloaks, thought that was interesting too, because that was an ancient practice. People did that all over the world. They would take their cloaks and they would lay it down before a royal procession. Yeah. Procession.
There you go.
Got it that time. And so that the king could come forward riding almost as if on a carpet.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think about this moment and to begin to visualize, you know, and engage our senses here for a moment, that they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." I mean, imagine, you know, thousands of people likely shouting, and the roar of this crowd that must have been going on. And for people that were down the street, you know, as they were hearing it, you know, they knew that Jesus was coming around the corner. And even if they didn't know about Jesus, you know, they're hearing these words about "save us." And there's this expectation that's brewing. And as it gets closer, you know, they begin to see people just falling in line and throwing their cloaks down as Jesus is riding on the donkey. And they're beginning to get this picture of, oh my, the king is here to rescue us. He is here to save us. And to think about just that moment had to be just incredibly powerful.
As I envision it, everything that you just said, the one thing I would add is also seeing all those palms being waved, you know, additional height in the air. So the sound is getting louder as Jesus is getting closer. You're hearing those shouts. You're seeing the palms wave, the cloaks being placed down. This was a tremendous sight.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when we see those kind of things, it's a parade. You know, it's a Super Bowl celebration parade, and, you know, the whole team is coming, and there's pomp and circumstance. The team is making the noise. The float that they're on, or whatever it is that they're on, they've got the music blaring. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here is one man riding a donkey.
Yeah.
And he's not like, he's not, you know, getting the crowd to, you know, get louder, or, you know, holding up his ear and saying, hey, more noise, come on, get it up. He's not even doing any of those kinds of things. This is the people's reaction to Jesus, one man riding on a donkey.
But, you know, you think about it, isn't praise a fitting response to Christ?
Yeah.
And what he has done for us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and for us too, to going back to this moment and beginning to understand is what's happening here and what unfolds here in the coming days, that what the people were recognizing Jesus as was king, as a political king, as one who would rescue them from the Romans and the great oppression that they were under with the Romans, and just being a part of that system and that empire. They were very much looking forward to that, and certainly that would be something worth looking forward to. They didn't quite understand that it wasn't just that, and it wasn't going to be that for a long time, but they didn't recognize that here Jesus was entering as their Savior. And imagine if they would have recognized that both he was coming eventually to set up his new kingdom, but he was also coming as Savior to rescue them from their sin. I mean, imagine what that would have been like for those people. But they didn't quite get that. They didn't quite understand that. They wanted the glory days of David and Solomon and this earthly kingdom where Israel reigned and wasn't under the oppression of some other king.
Yeah.
They very much wanted Jesus to come in and overthrow the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And for us as well to think about this idea that Jesus didn't meet their expectations. They had other expectations. And, you know, you begin to think about for us, what kind of expectations might we have of Jesus? And maybe they're small, maybe they're stuck in a moment in time or a circumstance, and maybe we're like, you know, Jesus, come now, donkey, chariot, you know, stallion, whatever, rescue us from the stay-at-home order. You know, get us out of this quarantine thing. And certainly, you know, we would desire that. And I think if Jesus came back, I think there would be a party in the streets if Jesus was to come back and people expected that's what was happening. But we would be missing what Jesus came
for. Well, the reality is people haven't really changed in centuries, and we tend to want things from God and not necessarily God himself. Yeah. And I think we see this, as you mentioned, that the people wanted deliverance from Roman oppression. They wanted a king that would lead them in a revolt against the Romans. And, you know, when they didn't get what they wanted, what happened?
They began to yell, "Crucify him."
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, from Hosanna and all of his excitement to crucify him and shouting that in the streets.
And I was thinking that, you know, even today, you know, many people, you know, they're quick to fall on their knees and pray when they're hurting, when they're sick, when a loved one is dying, when they're unemployed, maybe struggling with COVID-19. But even beyond that, many times, you know, people will pursue Christ in order to fix their life, fix their marriage, fix their spouse, fix their kids.
Rescue them from addiction or a heal someone in their own family.
Yeah. Some people, they'll follow Jesus because they believe he will make them healthy, wealthy, and wise. Yeah. And there's a lot of different motives for why a person would follow Jesus. But I think there are some right motives too. But clearly here, they missed the boat when it came to Jesus as Savior.
And in John 6, it says this in the New Living Translation, 6:26, this is, Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs." Mm-hmm. And for us to think about it, and for them even that moment, we miss that God is with us. We miss that Jesus is here in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And we want something from him. We have expectations of him. And if we don't get those things, those expectations aren't met, suddenly our hearts turn. And although maybe we wouldn't yell out, "Crucify him," we're angry somehow now against God.
Yeah.
And we miss that Jesus, he hasn't moved in those moments. He's still right there with us.
Yeah, when he doesn't answer prayer the way that we would like him to answer prayer, we can get angry, we can get bitter, we can charge God with not being good, or maybe we feel that he's impotent. He can't do anything about our situation.
Yeah. And I think for us to remember here that as King, as he's entering into this moment, and Savior in this moment, we want to submit our lives to him. We want to recognize who he is and recognize that we should have no other allegiance than to King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
No other strong affection but to King Jesus.
Yeah. Well, let's continue the story. I'm going to reference Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 19, verse 37 through 40. We read that as he was drawing near, that is Jesus, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." This is incredible.
It's a strong moment.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really, really incredible. And as I was reading this, I also, in my studies, came across some commentaries that basically referred to some of the ancient rabbis who said on this very day in Jerusalem, the day that Jesus was coming into the city, they would have been reading from Psalm 24 in the temple. And so I turned over to Psalm 24, and I'm going to read a few verses with you. Now, when you hear this, this is incredible. This is incredible. Keep in mind, these are the priests now in the temple, away from the crowds as Jesus is coming into the city. But in verse 7, we read, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory." Now that gives me goosebumps. Wow. Most of the people, though, as we have already said, had no clue who Jesus was. Even as that was being read, even as people were waving those palm branches, they had no clue. So let me ask you, do you know who Jesus is? Do you recognize him as your rightful King, as your sovereign Lord, as your Savior King? Because there is no other King who is worthy of our allegiance and our affections. This story that we've shared with folks here this morning is really a love story. It's a story of our Creator God, who not only came to earth, but entered, marched into a city, knowing full well that his purpose for coming was to lay down his life for us, to give his life as a ransom for many. And unlike what the people thought, Jesus did not come to conquer nations. He came to conquer our hearts. He came to conquer sin and death and to rescue us from the most vile disease of all, sin, and the dreadful consequences of it. And so the question I've been asking myself all week is that if Christ is truly king, if I really, really believe that, then I must be willing to lay down all that I am and all that I have before King Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is worthy of our allegiance and our affection. So I don't know if you have any closing thoughts you'd like to add.
Well, and just to think about this idea that Jesus knew all that was going to happen. He knew what people there in those streets on that day believed and didn't believe. He knew that. He knew that it was going to lead to betrayal, to him being denied by his most closest of friends and followers. He knew that he was going to eventually be crucified on a cross. And no matter what people believed, no matter what people expected of him, he came on that day anyway. Mm-hmm. He was there anyway. And Jesus had a mission. And as you mentioned that, to come, to seek and to save, that we might be forgiven and set free from all of our sin. And what a powerful day as we enter into this Holy Week and celebrate today, the triumphal entry, celebrating Easter this coming Sunday, and remembering here Thursday night that Jesus, he was crucified. He did die to pay for our sin and take on that penalty and that consequence that all of us deserve. Sure. And, but
I think it might be fitting to, you know, maybe issue this challenge to you if you're watching. If you have not yet bent your knee to King Jesus, if you have not yet surrendered your life to him, why not do that today? He's only a prayer away. Admit to him what he already knows, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that you're willing to turn from your sins and accept God's free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. You know, it's the blood of Christ that was shed at the cross that cleanses us of our sin, and we can know that we have eternal life if we have Christ living in our hearts, if we allow him to be king in this kingdom.
Yeah. So on that note, let's just pray together as we bring our time to a close. God, we're grateful again that we have the privilege to open your word this morning, to read about you, to even celebrate in this moment as you entered as a triumphal king into Jerusalem. And God, that you willingly expected and did to lay down your life for people like us. God, to take on that consequence of sin, that you would take on even our sin and our death so that we might be set free. God, may our expectations of you, God, may they stay focused on your presence. May they stay focused on who you are and what you've done, not just what we want from you. And God, may you be glorified in us all this week. So New Life, we're grateful to be with you this morning. We'll be looking forward to being with you on Thursday night. Make sure that you join us. And a couple things, we want you guys to kind of interact with there wherever you are, whether it's in the comments section or there in the room, there in your living room. A couple things. One, how does it make you feel knowing that Jesus willingly went to Jerusalem for you? How does it make you feel? Knowing that. The second thing we want you guys to discuss is, have you received Christ as Savior and King? And there's nothing more important that we could talk about than that today. And if you want help with that, you have questions about that, you want to discuss what that even means, comment below, send us a message, and we would love just to follow up with you and have that conversation. And the third thing, we want all of God's church to do as we enter into Easter week, just to take some time to look forward to what's coming, to celebrate even together as a family and talk about what it means that Jesus literally rose from the dead, that he brings life. And as we sung that song earlier, that day, our new life began. So we're looking forward to spending time with you again this week. If you don't have a life group here to interact with, if you want to comment below or send us a message, we'd love to connect you here this week so you can be seeing some faces, talking to some people, and praying together. Otherwise, it's been great to be with you this morning. We love you, New Life, and we look forward to being all together soon. Have a great day.